right, that was the first hand all the way in the back. Come on up. Give us your name, sir. You may have the floor. And you, sir, in the other green shirt, will be second.
Name's John P. Reed III. Live at 27394 Round Pole Bridge Road,
yes,
Mountain Delaware. As far as Mr. Burke, I know Sam and his son married both. I've lived in this Lawrence. Sorry, but I've lived in this neighborhood all my life. I've been there 60 years. I'm not here to. I'm not a designer like Mr. Couples and everything, but this is clay. From the time, no, you're going to have to bear with me. I've had cataract surgery. I don't see that well on this map. But when you come in Mr. Rogers' entrance, everything to the right, once you get in there, about 50 feet is clay holes. They're approximately 20 to 25 feet deep. I should know very well because as a kid, that's all I did was probe the neighborhood. Also, the man that's been speaking before, the lawyer here, I can't think of Mr. Fugue, said the buildings up there was old offices. They were not offices. The houses you go into Mr. Rogers on the left as you pull in, Anna Mae Jones lived there. The brick home along the road was Weldon Harmon and his wife, Edna Harmon, that lived there. There's also behind them is a high hill. That is how they took the clay up to these kilns. What's they going to use for toys for tots on this? But the kilns sit there along parallel with the road. And behind that is an old farm place with a chimney and everything. And beyond that is another building in there that is intact. From what I've looked at the plans when my eyesight, before I got these cataracts, surgery on the railroad, and you have to point it out which one is which I think is this part here. This lot here, 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 and this one, and these two here, you're going to approximately be knocking out one building plus this chimney here. This toys for tots, even if you put a wrought iron fence up there, who does it say that a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old kid would not be climbing over a wrought iron fence? I know what I was like when I was a kid, into everything. So that is part. The part, like I said, is the biggest problem is for when you come in this driveway, as I'm speculating, is these clay holes. Supposedly, if quote me if I'm wrong, the county says you have to have a 30-foot buffer between you and another property owner?
Not necessarily. It depends on the adjacent use.
Well, agriculture, I'm saying.
20.
It's 20.
It's 20, actually.
It's 20.
Yeah.
All right, if you take a 20-foot from Mr. Rogers' property in, and then you put your roads, which will be approximately 50-foot roads, you're actually going to be filling in for some of these clay holes. That clay, I've lived there all my life. I'm telling you, you're not going to drain water, and you're going to have, like you asked a while ago, you will have basement problems. Also, there is, on this parcel here, if I'm pointing right, this, is this the Nature Conservatory, sir? This Nature Conservatory right here, in given storms, there is water that lays in these clay holes all along here, in here. And if you get a good heavy rain, as it's built up, you've got water that pushes back in here. So if you put a road here that tells me common sense that water is going to go down these hills into this branch. There's no way at all. Also, they say they're going to do minimal clearing. Well, if I buy this lot, and this lot, and I said, I got myself and two sons and two stepsons, so we'll buy four lots. They said it'd be minimal clearing. If I decide I don't want to treat one on it, who's to stop me? Is there anything going to be in the plan from
They could put things in the deed. It would be a deed restriction.
As you come down here, the end of these clay holes, past Mr. Rogers, you go in and follow the last clay hole around. there is a known sailor's path. When the bridge was out there on Route 1, the portable bridge, the people tied up there, and they walked to town, and they cut across pole bridge. They come across my farm, and come across right there where my father's house, and walked across the nature conservatory, across the branch, across the brickyard, across Rogers, Mr. Rogers' property, across the carriage, secrets on in town, all in branches. And I can know right where the thing is. Also, all the way back here where he's talking about, I don't know, it's the exact same place, but that is where it tied up the boats years ago. And if you go back there on a low tide, you will be able to see the pylons where these boats was tied up, where they loaded the bricks. My main problem is the brickyard. There is nothing been tore down or disturbed in my 60 years that I've lived on this road. I've only been off for 3 years, 10 months, and 18 days during the Vietnam era. And like I said, I have walked it. The other problem I got, you're using a buffer zone here, which is the railroad bridge. That is owned by a property, by a gentleman sitting in here. I don't see how you can use his property, but he owns the Queen Anne's Railroad.
Okay.
And that's about my comments. But like I said, these are the major ones. You're going to be knocking out these houses here, which is part of it. And it's a part of history. And I would like to see it preserved. Plus, this here is, like I said, you're going to fill. Well, I worked at the state for 30 years. You're going to have to fill a little bit of the time. And as you said a while ago, you're going to have to use sand. And that clay is still going to be there. The clay is still there. Because some of these holes are 25, 30 foot deep in places on this place. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, sir, you're next.
Good evening. My name is John Dean. My wife Elizabeth and I own the property at 26355 Cave Neck Road. That property is right here. And my property line actually goes to the middle, and it's recorded in this building, to the center of the Queen Anne Railroad right away. And I believe Mr. Burke's property goes right to that point as well. So along my property, I know I own to the middle of that right away. Now, one of the things you need to look at is the topography of this area as it currently sits. The Queen Anne Railroad is approximately at the same elevation as Round Pole Bridge Road. On my side of the Queen Anne Roadway, from my property to the top of that right-of-way, or abandoned right-of-way, is approximately 10 to 12 feet. On the opposite side of that berm, it's deeper. It's probably, I'm going to say, 10 to 12 feet. 10, 12, maybe 15 feet. So there's going to have, these lots in here are very low unless they do a substantial amount of changing to the natural topography, which is going to, you know, would take out what trees are there. There is also, between my property and my neighbors on Round Pole Bridge Road, there is a stormwater swale, if you call it, where the water that comes down Cave Neck Road comes in and runs between my property and my neighbors, and then it comes back and it runs across the back of my property and across the, or in, onto the property of Tom Markle, who owns the Spruce Pines property, and then it goes under the railroad right-of-way via a pipe and then runs through there. I've seen times when we've had substantial amounts of rain when this area is covered in water. You know, these lots right here. I've seen times with that. There is also, and I believe they are clay pits, there are some holes down in here that are not noted. You know, they talk about clay pits here, but there are what look to me, I don't know the history of the area as well as the previous gentleman, but, you know, there are holes there. The other thing is the rock sizes in this area, all the neighbors and including spruce pines, the lock sizes are, you know, in the 2 acre range. They're not half acre lots. They are, you know, in that range of 2 acres. When Mr. Markle, actually when he did the subdivision of Spruce Pines, that was one of the reasons I didn't object to it, was because, you know, that was, you know, 2 acres was in keeping with the area. So I think, you know, really half-acre lots here are not in keeping. The other thing is these people need to realize, as I did when I moved here, this is a rural area. That berm, as I said, behind my house or behind my property there is 10 to 12 foot. You know, I target shoot back there on a regular basis. I hope these neighbors don't mind that because I don't intend to stop. That's one of the reasons I bought the property. You know, so that, you know, they need to be, you know, aware that things like that happen, you know, in this area. But my biggest concern is that stormwater. And, you know, I don't really see where it's going to go here. And I'm concerned with these lots back here. They're going to have to do something, you know, some substantial site work here, you know, in order to make those viable lots. Last thing, they talked about the sewer and the sewer going to Milton, and I guess I have more of a question on that. I assume that sewer is going to run down, would run down Round Pole Bridge and across Cave Neck Road. And I want to know is, if that happens, am I going to be mandated to hook onto it? I bought my land, and I made sure and had test boards done before I bought it to make sure that it would take, and I had locations not for two, but for three septic systems so that, you know, I could always maintain a septic system. And that was one of the things I don't want to be impacted with, sewer fees and impact fees. So I guess that's a question I have because I don't know the answer to it.
Well, generally, no, you would not be required. And actually, the testimony, applicant's testimony was that Tidewater Environmental Services would be the provider of a central sewer system. They really didn't testify as to whether it had anything to do with the town of Milton or where it went or what road it was going
to be on. I thought they said it was going to hook onto the Milton sewer system.
No, I don't. Well, maybe I was. Is it?
Yeah, they said treated by in the town of Milton.
Okay,
yeah.
You are. It is going to go to the town of Milton, okay. But you should not be required to.
Which
to
is demand. Operated by the Tidewater Utility.
Okay, so Tidewater is operating their system now. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Michael Smith. My wife Beth and I live at 26253 Cave Neck Road, which would be right in here. So first of all, let me verify what Mr. Dean just said. I was surprised to see a flood line cutting through the back of my property when I looked at the maps. It is there. The back of my property gets very wet. Certainly in the spring. I have a straight line to the access, the Allegheny Railroad. There, straight across. It drops down to 10 to 15 feet, comes back up, and then goes downhill from there. So I'm concerned as well about those houses that would be right behind me. The other reason I'm concerned about the homeowners, the prospective homeowners here, is that, and I'm just a homeowner myself, I took a look at Mr. Savage's report, Mr. Savage of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, on the soil types here. Most of the soil types pertaining to this development are not desirable ones for buildings. And if I read the colored map right, that's on file, most of these soils are alluvial soils that have a history of flooding. Hazard of potential flood damage, seasonal or fluctuating high water tables severely limits these soils for building use. Also, the soil is highly susceptible to frost action. Construction can be difficult, and wet foundations or basements are probable. Now, that's my read on this, what I saw on the map, sir.
Sorry, you say that's your read, or were you actually reading to us from somebody?
I was reading to you from it, sir.
Okay, that's why I just wanted to make sure
yes.
that you
yes.
were not testifying as an expert. You were simply reading.
Hardly.
You were simply reading. Okay, and that was from who again?
Mr. Savage. Let's see here.
What agency again?
To Mr. Lank. Felton D. Savage, USDA Natural Resources.
Okay, all right. All right. I know which one it is.
Okay, I'm sure it's in Mr. Lang's file. I don't want unhappy neighbors. I really don't. My second concern is the length of the cul-de-sac. Now, I like cul-de-sacs. Before moving here, we lived on a cul-de-sac. It was wonderful.
Some of your best friends are cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, right. However, in severe weather, and we had severe weather, snows, we were the last to get plowed, of course. There was one snow where my neighbor Ed Green on Charmouth Road, he had a heart attack. The ambulance could not get up. So I'm concerned about the safety of those prospective residents in the case of severe weather, be it severe snow like we had last winter or severe rain. Those are my concerns, gentlemen.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir, in the blue shirt.
Gentlemen, my name is Johnny Hopkins, and first of all, I'd like to read a letter from the Markle family who live on Cave Neck Road. They were unable to be here tonight and didn't have time to submit it, so if I could read that in the record.
Right ahead, sir.
It's addressed to Lawrence Lank. It's actually from Sharon Markle and Thomas Markle. Mr. Lank is property owners that border the Queen Anne Railroad and the proposed Brickyard Landing development. Our concern is that given the history of the railroad and Brickyard, we feel there should be an archaeological study done. This should be thoroughly reviewed. We do not oppose development, but there is so much history to be preserved in this project. Let's take our time and make certain we aren't destroying a part of local culture and history. And they're pleased asking to send this through the PLUS process, and that's respectfully submitted by Sharon Markle and Thomas Markle on Cave Neck Road. Again, my name is Johnny Hopkins. I live across the street from the project, and I'd like to make a few comments myself. Number one, I'd like to address Mr. Couples. Initially, I live on a hill. Just built a house there.
Excuse me, Mr. Hopkins, you really need to direct your comments
okay.
to us.
Sure.
And if
I live on a hill directly across. As far as the flooding issue in basement, you cannot have a basement there. I'm on a hill, same elevation or maybe higher than what some of their home sites would be. I have water underneath there. That's a constant problem. The clay in the soil is down like 38, 40 inches, and it just will not sustain that. So I don't know that that's the developer's problem or the people that buy the lot, but somebody's going to have a problem with that at some point. Not against Mr. Burke, and I certainly want him to know that. I'm not against his project. I think everybody should have a chance to do something with their ground. If they own it, their families owned it. I just think we need to have responsible growth, and I think we need to really look at it. And number one, nobody wants a development in their backyard, especially out in this area. We've enjoyed peace, privacy, and quiet for quite a long time. And this is the first development that really I've been associated with that's come out there of this magnitude. That's a major subdivision. I know there have been other ones, I believe, on that road that have been either turned down or scaled back substantially. So I'd like you guys to take that into consideration when you when you're making your decision. Again, I think I heard Mr. Fuqua, one of his comments was that he was not afraid or did not mind if we put this through the PLUS program. And I think in lieu of that area, with no developments of this magnitude out there on that road, why not let's turn every stone while we have the opportunity, guys. Let's be responsible. Let's look at it. It doesn't mean that we're going to shut this man down. It just means that, that we're going to make make a real nice development for the neighborhood.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Well, we thank you.
Do you want to submit that letter?
Would you like to hand that? You want to hand that in to? Yeah, there you go. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, in the tie. Actually, well, the commission takes a vacation from ties from Memorial Day to Labor Day, but I appreciate the fact that you're wearing one.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. My name is Roger Jones. I'm Vice President and State Director for the Nature Conservancy in Delaware. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. I did provide intermittent comments, but I wanted to elaborate on a couple points just for the record. First off, the Nature Conservancy received a donation of the adjoining property known as the McCabe Preserve from the McCabe family back in the early 90s. Our responsibility for that property is to preserve the wetlands and woodlands on that. We also provide public access. There's a trail, so it is utilized and enjoyed by the public. As we pointed out in our letter, due to the special qualities of this area, which I elaborated, some important natural features, historic features, we would encourage the applicant to voluntarily put this through the PLUS process. If not, we would encourage council to make that a requirement of the project. I did want to point out one of our particular concerns as it is addressed with the current design. And I should point out that we have no argument with the identification, location, mapping of the wetlands on the property. But if I could go over the map, the Nature Conservancy shares a common boundary on the east side of the preserve. There's a branch which runs actually just from this side of Round Pole Road through the property. There is wetlands on both sides of that property line. As has been pointed out, a lot of the soils on this property are clay. During storm events, there will be storm runoff from the development, proposed development, into those wetlands. Our primary concern is that runoff adversely impacting wetlands on our property. That wetland area is flat. Even though there are designs in place for stormwater runoff, our concern is over long term, once this property is developed and owned by the subdivision group, those things will degrade over time and will not be maintained. Therefore, we're going to see continued association of problems with the runoffs, degradation of those wetlands, and it's our responsibility to ensure that those wetlands on the adjoining property are protected. We would point out, due to the fact that there is a nature preserve adjoining this property, that this proposed project be given careful consideration in the review process. That's all we're asking. We do not oppose the proposed variance. We don't have a position on it. But we do request this go through the PLUS process. I would also like to point out for the record that I was contacted by Mr. Burke. Was it Monday or Tuesday, Sam?
Sir, I'm too pleased you're going to direct your question to us. If we want to know which day it was, we'll ask.
All right. Earlier this week, I was contacted by Sam to let me know that this would be coming for council or commission for review. And I appreciated that. We did receive notification in writing, but did actually not find out about the project until last week. That concludes my comments. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. And who's next? Okay, last call. Okay, Mr. Tyler.
Someone else?
No, I didn't see anybody. Anyone else? I'm sorry. There's some folks hiding behind the posts there. And whoever's, will somebody come up? There we go. Right here. This gentleman right here.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Len Rogers. I reside at 8585 Silver Miss Run. I guess I'm the most directly affected by the subdivision proposed. And I have a few comments to make, and I would just like to start. I'll just go right down the list, and they're very brief. When we acquired our property, and we have a lot of 60 acres next to this property, contiguous to it, our driveway was straight in. It is a permanent prescribed easement, for the privilege of having it from Mr. Burke, and it is a recorded easement that was done, and is a state recognized driveway that comes in. I noticed on the plan that was handed out this evening that Mr. Fuquay alluded to the fact that we wouldn't be denied access to our property, and that is true according to the plan. However, halfway up the driveway on this plan tonight, there's a curve and a turn, and we have to go through the subdivision to get to our property. And the DCI gentleman stated that we use a 10-foot or 12-foot gravel roadway, which they would improve. And at the present time, the prescribed easement is, I think it's close to 22 feet. Tonight we started cutting hay, and the tractor and the cutter that came up the driveway today was 17, almost 18 feet wide. So what occurs with that 6-foot island and us having 12 feet? We need to have that 20-foot prescribed easement to get that equipment up there to do the farming activities. So we'd like to maintain that straight roadway in and not have to turn, then go through the subdivision to get to the property. We also, on the map here, it says that the name of the road would be H.P. Layton Way. We would like to maintain our present address of Silver Miss Run, which goes with the history of the property and with our equestrian activities that we have, and we don't want our address to change if possible. As I stated, we do have an active equestrian farm. We do have horses. We have the grazing pastures, the stable activity, and also we have a nutrient management program in place. But however, I want everybody to know that the odors do go with it. I noticed on the plan also that there is two, I guess, eventually there would be access to the property. One, as you we'd come in halfway up our driveway now, turn right, go down, and there's one that stops at the buffer. There's one in the center that comes past the road that goes across the field to my daughter's property, and then there's one that comes out to the center of our garage, I guess, at a future date. And I would like to know, you know, if we could at some point when you deliberate that we could still have our straight access in and not be blocked by a curb. One comment I'd like to know or to state from since we've lived on the property, on the end down by the Queen Anne's Railroad basin, our base, and I guess for lack of a better term, behind Skip Betts' house. Let's see, where's he at here? Right through here. Is there a bridge that goes across there? I know it shows like a tile the state put in underneath the railroad at one time to manage. There's a managed waterway that comes from Cave Connolly across 88, as Mr. Dean alluded to. Also, there's one up by Sussex Electric. It comes into a Y tributary that goes into the Broadkill River. But recently, and last winter, when we had the melting of the snow, and I've seen it twice now happen, if there's not more than a tile that's going across, a culvert going across behind Skip Bounce's house to take that water between the two properties where we are now, that water was over waist deep pretty much many, many weeks during the winter there. And Mr. Betts can allude to it. He has a deer relic in his backyard, and the water that came behind his house from Cave Connolly, from Lucas area across there was much more than I've ever seen before this year and last year when we had all the rain. So if there's only going to be a tile that goes across there, that water's going to be backed up to Skip. I mean, it's going to have to be a good size because the actual must have been a 30-foot pipe that goes through there now. It couldn't take the water that ran through there last winter and this spring. So with that, that's basically my comments. I'd like to give Mr. Lang my comments in writing.
Please do. Okay.
Thanks, sir.
All right, sir, we thank you. Who's next? Anyone else? Anybody else behind the pole back there? Okay, no. All right, Mr. Tyler.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. And also, I have something from Plan Delaware. Richard Anthony couldn't make it. He had business in Dover, and I would like to read that into the record first.
Please do.
The brief observation prescribed herein are predicated on an analysis of the above-cited application, and that's the application Leighton Partnership. Those attachments thereto, which were available and reviewed. With the foregoing thoughts as a guide, both Plan Delaware and I wish to preface these remarks by stating that it is neither the intent nor purpose of this presentation to promote a disregard for or a denial of constitutional rights, free enterprise, or a no-growth philosophy. Rather, the intention and goal is to advocate a controlled growth philosophy which fully and safely mitigates existing compromises to the environment and excessive demands upon infrastructure while promoting fiscal accountability, the economy of government spending, cultural and historic preservation, and beneficial quality of life issues without creating an economic burden or drain upon the residents of Delaware as a whole or current and future residents of Sussex County in particular. Plan Delaware respectfully requests that the following testimony position statement be placed with and made part of the public record associated with the application. Sounds like Rich Anthony.
Yeah, another familiar ring.
So these are his concerns. Consistency with Chapter 99 of the Sussex County Code, adequacy of the application. It is Plan Delaware's belief that the subject proposal is incomplete and consequently the submission premature. Numerous aspects are either not addressed, addressed in a cursory manner, missing or inaccurate. Several of the more egregious insufficiencies are without limitation as follows. Historic preservation. Notwithstanding an assertion, albeit fallaciously misleading, that the site contains no natural historic features without limitation, three obvious items would include the Sailor's Pathway, the Queen Anne Railroad Bed, and various ruins of the Milton Brick Factory. The Sailor's Pathway dates to a time when the Broadkill was a navigable waterway serving maritime commerce. The Queen Anne Railroad represents a later era and mode of travel and commerce and raises a question of ownership. Lastly, the remains of the brick factory and the clay pits, which supplied the raw materials, was the source of building materials for many Sussex County structures. The proposal seems to ignore the presence of these cultural landmarks, and to allow their wanton destruction would be inconsistent with the intent of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan's historical element. It is of prime importance to safeguard the remaining remnants of our heritage for future generations through the application of planning flexibility when such opportunities are presented. This is not a question of a perceived right to obtain highest and best use or maximum yield. The bar to be observed is to assure a use which affords a reasonable return on investment. TMDL, total maximum daily loads. The Round Pole Branch Broadkill River, he has DED 60, he has a code here, sampling, reveals that the presence of bacteria which had been delisted in 2006 was relisted in 2008. An examination of the proposal established that nothing therein contained provides general data relevant to the proposal's stormwater management system or wastewater treatment system, much less a detailed explanation of the methodology to be employed to assure no further compromise of water quality and to observe a neutral impact to the Broadkill's maximum daily loading. We submit that the practice of addressing this issue after the fact, read post-public hearing, denies the general public the opportunity to participate in the public process insofar as reviewing and preparing for participation in the public process as it relates to the adequacy of this proposal's potential direct, collateral, and future foreseeable adverse impacts to water quality and the sufficiency of its proposed mitigation program, if any. Stormwater management system. Aside from identifying the location of the stormwater system's pond, nothing contained in the public record speaks of the stormwater system. Considering both the topography of the proposed site and the commonly known presence of large clay deposits, it is a bit alarming that not even a preliminary drainage plan has been incorporated in the public record. And here again, the failure to supply such material in a timely manner denies the public the opportunity to adequately prepare for participation in the public process. Potential dumping sites. Again, because of potential compromises to water quality, one must question why a survey replete with test borings has not been conducted to identify potential buried debris. Numerous craters where clay had been excavated to supply the brick factory which occupied the site subsequently fell prey to indiscriminate dumping of various discarded objects. Wastewater treatment. The proposal alleges that the community will be serviced by a certain wastewater treatment facility. In consideration of the current state of the impaired waters adjacent to the proposed site, it is alarming to find that the plat fails to identify the area for the wastewater treatment facility, the type of treatment facility, or the proposed level of treatment. Additionally, as discussed above, the presence of large clay deposits raised concern as to the ability of the soils to absorb treated wastewater. As above, the absence of supplying such material in a timely manner denies the public the opportunity to adequately prepare for participation in the public process. Additionally, since the site plan does not contain a golf course or a driving range, one must question whether statements alleging the presence of a driving range are merely an attempt to utilize a loophole for surface application of treated waste, alleging it is being applied to a golf course. Moreover, the subject parcel does not have a valid wastewater service agreement. It is not in Tidewater's recognized CPCN area and is not present in the proposed master sewer plan for this area. Neither is any letter present which acknowledges that the town of Milton has agreed to accept the sewage of the town's facility. In conclusion of the foregoing, it is respectfully requested that the subject proposal as presented be denied and any future land use proposals for this site be ordered to be submitted for review by PLUS process. And signed by Richard Anthony, so I will provide you with that. Now, as president of the Citizens Coalition, my comments are based on the applicant's packet of information that he gave, and some of the things that were said today seems to conflict with what I read in the packet. So I guess I will continue this. I may repeat some of the things that Rich said, but please bear with me. Citizen Coalition believes that this application by Leighton Partnership, subdivision 20098, known as the Brickyard Landing, to divide 52.97 acres into 49 lots, lacks sufficient agency support and considerable amount of required information for recommendation and approval. Further, we believe that the number of lots on this site are totally out of character with the community and with the intent of the comp plan. Also, we concur with others that this application, even though it is for 49 lots, one less than the required 50 that would trigger a PLUS review, should go before PLUS because of, among other things, the sensitivity of the land and the likely negative effects this development will have on wildlife habitat, neighboring properties, and the community in general. There are several other troubling concerns that the applicant has either failed to recognize or about which the applicant has provided insufficient data. The Broadkill River should not be a recipient of wastewater treatment effluent under any circumstances because, according to Environmental Protection Agency, the Round Pole branch of the Broadkill from the headwaters to its confluence with the upper Broadkill River contains serious amounts of bacteria and has been listed as failing federal Clean Water Act standards since 2008, and again, Rich had mentioned that. The applicant states that no historic elements will be affected with this development. On the contrary, three significant historical elements will be dealt a fatal blow if this site is developed. The Milton Brick Company, we've all heard about, operated in the 19th and early 20th century as the only brick manufacturing facility in Sussex County. According to historians, most of the brick homes in the county built before World War II were constructed with bricks made from clay and fired in the kilns at this site. The kilns still exist. The size of the wide and very deep clay pits, some more than 30 feet deep, attest to the sizable volume of clay used to make tons of bricks for Sussex County. Granted, this site is not recognized in the county comp plan. However, this may have been an oversight that should be revisited. A second historic element is the right-of-way for the old Queen Anne's Railroad that operated between Ellendale and Lewis. This rail line is still on many maps and could be developed as a rail trail to the physical fitness and benefits of residents and visitors. I'm thinking like a cyclist right now. We believe the Queen Anne's Railroad is under different ownership than the Leighton Partnership. The third element is Sailor's Walk, or Sailor's Path, identified as once used by seafaring men as a riverside route to Milton. Further, before Milton became a shipbuilding town, much shipbuilding activity took place on land along the shoreline that this development will encompass. Round Pole Bridge Road is important for the agricultural character of the area. Hundreds of acres are already in farm preservations, and farmers do not need a residential community, which would significantly increase vehicular traffic. Now, according to my ITE standards that I referenced, a development of 49 homes will generate 931 trips a day. I think they usually use a 19 trip multiplier, and that's what I applied. So I don't know what ITE standards they use. Maybe it's different for the type of housing, but we've always used that. Further, this road is part of the American Discovery Trail. I don't know if you knew that. A federally endorsed and supported route which extends from Cape Henlopen State Park to Point Reyes, California. It is a delightful stretch of natural vistas and farmland that make this beautiful segment in Delaware memorable to all who use it. I ride on it probably 3 times a week when I ride out to Milton or up to Redden Forest. Citizens Coalition and its many household members who for the past 16 years have presented before you and County Council concerns for managed growth, sustainable development, and responsible land use believe this application has too many unanswered issues. We see it as an example of irresponsible land use and non-sustainable development that defies managed growth. Further, we believe that even at 49 units, the development should be put before PLUS so that agency input can review our concerns and make needed recommendations. Finally, in view of what we believe is an incomplete application based on sewer, water, trash, and debris dumped into existing and covered over clay pits, the lack of recognition of historic elements and concerns for wildlife habitat, we request the Planning and Zoning Commission require the applicant to resubmit a more comprehensive and complete application and provide appropriate data, or at minimum, the record shall remain open until such time as the many concerns of the citizens and residents of Round Pole Bridge Road and Citizens Coalition are addressed. Thank you so much for your time and the ability to talk.
We thank you. Okay, is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Hi, my name is Dawn Hopkins. Okay. I'm married to Guy in Blue. We live across the street. Okay. From the Brickyard Landing proposal, and I have two quick concerns, one being the ongoing conversations that have supposed to be going on between the Nature Conservancy and Mr. Burke, because apparently the Nature Conservancy just found out about this a week or so ago. My second concern is I'm one of those people that come to these things, quote unquote, to complain or to see the upscale neighborhood that's going to be across the street with half an acre or less of land. I'm concerned with the type of housing that will be put there. My family has 3.5 acres of land, plus additional 20 acres of other family land connected, and I don't see how we would have similar types of housing in comparison to the size of land that we have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, anyone else? All right then, anyone on the commission have any questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Just I want to clarify something that came up.
Okay.
Just so, and maybe I missed it in the presentation, and maybe Mr. Couples, you can answer this. It's probably an easy question, I think. About the one thing I heard in Mr. Anthony's statement was a question about whether there was wastewater treatment available from the town of Milton. And I guess the first question is, who owns Milton's sewer plant? Is it Milton or Tidewater?
Tidewater, I think, owns it. They have an operating agreement with the town.
I know that just sort of went through and got finalized.
And it just happened.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened quite some time ago, about 2 years ago.
Right.
And I believe that Tidewater was the entity that financed the improvements to the wastewater treatment plant. So capacity's there. We have a letter in our booklet that says the capacity's there. It's going to Milton.
Okay. Well, that was going to be my follow-up question, because it looked like in tab 4 it talked about that there's a letter attached, and then you go to whatever it is, tab 6 with the appendices, and it says that it's willing and able, but it's outside the certificate of the CPCN area. They're willing and able, but there's not any agreement in place. What's the status of that at this point?
The willing and able says that they could take our sewage.
Okay.
An agreement will be executed when the, we go to final plan.
Okay, I didn't know if there was a CPCN.
You can't have an agreement if you don't have a preliminary plan.
Yeah, but this sounds like there wasn't a CPCN, and that's what I was getting at, is whether there's even a CPCN at this point.
The normal process is there'd be a petition to expand the area to serve, and then there would be an agreement entered into, but that would be after the zoning, the site plan process is completed. And you're not going to enter into an agreement before you have any development in place.
Well, previously in the past, Tidewater and Artesian had been going out and getting CPCNs from everybody before development had occurred.
Where they were trying to lock up service areas. Right. That wasn't for development reasons. That was for their business model. But in this case, we approached them. They indicate they can provide service. They would have to expand their franchise area, and an agreement would be entered into.
Yeah, that's just, he asked that question. It sounds like you've gone through the process of it. That's what I wanted to see for sure, where you stood on that. Okay. Thank you. That's all I had, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Anyone else? All right, sir.
My name is Skip Betts. I'm 2685 Nine Round Port Bridges Road, and Christy Betts is my wife. I just want to elaborate a little bit what Lynn said about all the water. back in the winter, we had putting near 3 foot, 4 foot deep in the back of my property, and we built a new home in 06. And we had water coming in on my property, or goes through my property and goes through the railroad. And also, you have two other locations, the Hopkins and Pete Reed, that goes through their property. And a little follower up on 88, it comes out by Sussex Electric. So with that large amount of water all draining on my property, Lynn Rogers' property, and the Hopkins down by Johnny Hopkins and Pete Reed, they all submerge right in one area. And when you work late at night like I do, come home and you got this much water, and we got a full basement, and it's kind of hectic when you come home. You know what the heck's going on. You know, your house be flooded out or whatever. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention about the water level. It is bad.
Okay.
And another thing I want to mention is about when you have all these houses, if it gets approved, when you leave my property and go down to 88 and stop, you either go left to Lewis or go right to Milton. That one house on the corner there right now, when you get ready to make a right-hand turn to go to Milton, it's not too bad. But if you leave to go to Lewis, which my wife goes there every day, and Amber, she goes there to go to the hospital where she works, I just feel that there's a big impact with LDOT on some kind of study that handled that amount of cars every day in, day out. So you really need to take that consideration, the water, the traffic. And I might say 20 years ago, gentleman right here, Mr. Burke, as you know, he gave me permission when Christy and I first bought the property. It was just a small pipe that the railroad put in there whenever it was. We purchased the property in 1989, and after we bought it, we might have been 6 months to a year, we had a large rain, and we thought, what in the heck would we be done? We bought a pond. But anyway, on Sam's behalf, he let me take a little bit of help with the state. They got a larger pipe to let the water get through. So as time's going on, the water still keeps coming. Everybody else behind me on 88, they're building lots, and everybody's draining, building up. So I just want each and every one of you to take that consideration, and thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you. Now, are there any more late jumpers? Okay. All right. Now, before we close the public hearing, I want to thank all of you for being here. You, by far, have been one of the best-behaved groups we've had with us, and we really appreciate that. We appreciate your patience. You've been sitting here, some of you, over 3 hours. And I just want to remind everyone that there are good people on both sides of these issues, and it's certainly not anything personal on either side. We have an ordinance against which we have to measure this application,
and that's our job, and that's what we'll be doing. So thank you again. We'll invite you to remain with us. This is our last public hearing. What happens next is we refer back to the first one and we work our way through them, either taking some type of action, some type of motion will be made either to approve, deny, or defer. So you're welcome to stay for that deliberation if you like. Otherwise, you feel free to call the office in the morning. So I'll close the public hearing. Thank you.